Yo, Thomas.
Hey, Alex, how's it going?
Oh, good, dude. Good, good, good. The quality is phenomenal as well. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Awesome. Hear you loud and clear.
Awesome, dude. So how's it going, man? Thank you for taking some time to come out here and be a part of the podcast, man. I know you got a lot of value to offer, and I've been waiting on it. You know, a lot of people have been waiting as well to hear what you have to say, so.
I don't know how many people are waiting to hear what I have to say, but I'm excited to be here, so that's all that really matters. Yeah, man, so just basically got back from the gym like an hour ago. How about you?
Oh, nice, nice. I got done with the gym myself probably about, what was it, 6:40-ish. I probably got done officially. And then I cruised home. I got home as fast as I could, showered, and then went to go meet my friends to get sushi.
Hey, sushi's what's up, man. I love sushi.
Yes.
You will have to. Yeah, the only problem is that Kaylee doesn't like sushi at all.
Oh, my God.
We can still go, though. That's all that matters.
Exactly. They have that hibachi chicken or something anyway, you know.
Oh, yeah. She'll make do. She'll survive.
But I want to jump right into it.
Sure.
Just start. Kind of get some backstory. Just to kind of give people some context. I should have gave you more of a formal introduction, and I apologize for that. But definitely take this moment to kind of fill people in on who you are, you know, like what are some things that you focus on in life? And I kind of like to say, you know, what makes you a superhero? What, like your superhero biography, what is your special ability and how you use that for the greater good?
Huh. Well, there's a lot of things that I like to do and a lot of things that I feel as if I specialize in. So basically I'll just give kind of a backstory. Obviously, you know me, Alex, but, anybody listening won't. So I graduated with a pre-medical degree in, biology with a health science concentration and an exercise science degree. So very kinesiology, health, fitness oriented person. I would say that I'm a fitness specialist, but I also have to say that I am a scientist as well. So there's a lot going on in my head most of the time. but yeah, I mean, when it comes to what I specialize in, I feel as though my superpower or whatever, you know, or what you would call it, would probably be my work ethic, if that can be one. Yeah. And I mean, it comes with a lot of time that I've spent, you know, working on whether it be my own knowledge or my own body or physique or whatever it might be. But it is definitely something that I have, I guess you could say, kind of prided myself in over the years, because I feel as though you can accomplish any task if you have the correct work ethic. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the only thing you need, but it's definitely a good start.
Right. Dude,
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I said that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely different. You know, for a very long time, you know, it was one of those things where I didn't necessarily know what I wanted in life, didn't necessarily know what I wanted to do, but it seemed as if anything that I really applied myself to do, you know, I would be successful in. And I think we had this conversation before about how you kind of feel the same way, where it's like if you're interested in something and you're passionate about it and you put the time in, you can generally succeed. But yeah, man. So, I mean, really a little bit more about my background is that I've, you know, like Alex and I have talked about fitness for a long time. You know, I am more health and fitness when it comes to your lifestyle oriented. Everything that I do is very lifestyle oriented. So I'm a online fitness coach currently. I was a personal trainer for a long time. You know, I've done a lot of different various jobs when it comes to fitness. So really, all of my focus recently has been on how to create the best lifestyle for myself and for my clients. Right. That's going to allow them to succeed and achieve their goals and live a healthy lifestyle at the same time. Because, I mean, you know, a lot of people do the whole crash diets and things like that, that generally don't give you a sustainable result. It's something that is only temporary, where the weight will kind of come back, or, you know, you won't feel as healthy. But, you know, Alex, you can kind of speak from experience. You know, you've kind of done some of the stuff that I've told you to do. You feel better generally, correct?
Yeah, dude, I was actually looking at myself today and I was like, wow, you know, I actually did come pretty far in these couple months, man.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you had a good physique at the start, but, you know, my goal was to just Thank accentuate you. Those qualities that you already were having and just make you even better.
Yeah, dude, and I can't thank you enough, man, and that's legit. If anybody listens to this and, you know, is looking for that person that is an ideal advisor and mentor, not just a trainer, but specifically a coach and somebody that can help you change your lifestyle completely, then I recommend Thomas completely, 100%. No money back guarantee, because you're not going to need to get your money back.
Thanks, yeah. Alex. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of the reason why I've been successful with my clients is I really individualize everything that I do. And that's something that I can say that most coaches don't do. I mean, everything that I've given you has been literally written straight up on this laptop in front of me, and it's all new. There's nothing else there. It's just me, you know, putting the time and thinking about what would work best for you and how we can attack your body in a way and your health to, you know, make you the best version of you.
Yeah, dude, I definitely feel that the personalization of each client that you have, man, that speaks volumes, and that does go a long way. It makes it less of a task. You know, it's like, wow, you're generally concerned about, you know, you want to see me succeed. It helps, and it just makes everything better.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I try to develop a personal relationship with all of my clients as well, because I want to get to know you. I want to get to know your concerns and worries and doubts, and just to kind of be there to say, hey, it's gonna be all right. You know, it's gonna take some time, but, you know, we're gonna get there together. And, you know, I've seen a lot of success just being there for people, and I think that kind of comes from, you know, my empathetic personality, that I just really feel for others. And, you know, I think you do the same, so it's nice to talk to somebody else who, you know, really has a humanistic approach to things. Like, it seems like you care about a lot of people, Alex.
Oh, thank you, man. And I do. I have a genuine concern for, I would say, humanity itself as a whole. You know, I just want to give everybody. I was literally just saying this at dinner today too. My purpose is to give people the life that I've had, and I know I haven't had the greatest life, but I've had great experiences in life, and I feel like it's my duty to not only allow people to find out how and to experience that themselves, but to also unlock their true potential and to actualize and succeed and live their wildest dreams, just like we all will someday.
Yeah, because everybody has gifts and everybody has something to offer to this world, and we just have to find out what that is. And, you know, there was an interesting study, or I believe I was listening to some scientist, I forget who it was, speaking about how, you know, if the reason that depression is at such a high rate in the world is due to the fact that humans are, you know, obviously, we actually lack purpose. And if we lack purpose, you know, we tend to have this decrease in, you know, certain neurotransmitters, you know, so that kind of creates this illusion in your mind, like your dopamine, you know, dopaminergic receptors are not being stimulated as frequently, so you're not going to feel that sensation of euphoria and pleasure, you know, that you would if you had a purpose. So I find that with my own life, where if I'm not really working towards something, if I'm not focusing and saying, I need to get this done, like this is something important, I need to do it, right, I can feel like I close, you know, kind of dip down into like a lower, I guess you could say, state of mental health, you know, and that's kind of terrifying at times.
Dude, that is so crazy that you say that, because I believe that 100%, man, purpose is really the key to living, man. Like, if you don't know why, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting studies. I mean, just throughout our evolutionary history, I mean, I've delved very deep into, you know, evolutionary biology, evolutionary development. And it is very interesting how, if we look at what, you know, where we have come from as a species and how that kind of affects us now. Like, there are so many crazy theories out there, you know, I mean, things that would just like blow your mind. But, you know, for me, I have to be more realistic with it and say, well, is that necessarily true? Or is it something that is based on data and facts? Or is it something that's more subjective, you know, opinionative? And you know, you kind of have to weed that stuff out. But if it's like a peer-reviewed academic journal, you're probably okay.
Man, that's very interesting, man. And so that kind of brings me to the topic I really want to touch base on, and I'm excited to hear. And I was talking about this kind of a little bit today at work. So I think people need to know, you know, exactly the impact that food and the food that you consume really plays on your body. And I don't think people realize that if you put bad food in your tank, you produce bad results. Like, it really doesn't resonate that. Like, your brain doesn't act the same. It doesn't feel the same if you're not giving it quality food.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is a huge part of everything I try to get across to people. I mean, I have this one girl at work that I talk to all the time, and, you know, she basically tells me that she doesn't care about her diet. She just wants an exercise program. And I'm like, listen, it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
If you are intaking like 1,000 extra calories a day, like, I can't control that. Like, I can't make you burn 1,000 extra calories a day. That's pretty much impossible. But you're right, Alex. And we've had a little bit of these discussions before, is that, you know, when you're putting in foods that are going to have a negative impact on, number one, the digestive system, and then number two, the metabolism, right, you know, you're just going to be putting your body in a state that's less likely to optimize your health and optimize, you know, any potential results you could have. So, you know, one of the biggest things that I tell people to do is, you know, just basically, if you can stop eating like white bread. Okay, let's go back. Stop drinking soda. That would be fantastic. I mean, you would lose like 10 pounds in a year just by not drinking soda. And it's because, let's just assume you're drinking 3 or 4 sodas a day. I mean, that's basically like eating a Big Mac or some, you know, McDonald's burger or a fast food, you know, meal pretty much every day, which is insane. And you have no idea. You are drinking a dessert. It's freaking crazy. So now, there's a lot of different ways you can look at this, though. So, I mean, and mm-hmm. just kind of like some insight in like my own idealistic approach is that it's kind of a stepwise manner. I mean, you and I kind of went through the same thing, where each week we'd kind of check up and I'd say, hey, so this is what we need to remove. This is what we want to add in. Now, okay. There is a method to the madness, as you could say. So basically what I'm doing is I'm removing foods that are, you know, decreasing, that are potentially going to decrease your metabolism. Things that are going to, you know, potentially be more difficult for your body to digest and to produce this state of lethargy afterwards. So Have you noticed that if you eat something bad now, like after you've been healthy, if you eat something bad or even something resembling something bad, you just feel tired. Like you just feel like out of it.
Yeah. I just had a burger from Five Guys on the like on the weekend, and I was thinking, man, you know, this is gonna be good. Dude, I ate it and I just felt terrible. Terrible. I was like, you know what? I don't think I ever want to eat Five Guys again.
Yeah, I mean, and that is, I mean, maybe not that dramatic, but it is true. Generally, you'll feel, you know, more tired. You'll feel, I mean, even some people feel nauseous because their body's just not used to it. Like if you're intaking, you know, clean foods, I mean, if we just went down the list, it'd be like, you know, proteins, lean meat, obviously chicken, fish. I mean, I would even throw in like turkey. I can throw in beef in that too, because not everybody's going to eat that. But for me, it's something that I kind of switch out here and there. I'll just get some lean beef and I'll cook it up. And, you know, carbohydrates, pretty easy. I mean, anything whole wheat, anything rice, quinoa, things like that, that nature.
Right.
You know, our bodies take these things. And I'll go ahead and throw fats in as well, or lipids. So any type of oil, you know, really. Just unsaturated fats, polyunsaturated fats are the best way to go. And then also nuts. Nuts are great too. And, you know, they have carbohydrates, lipids, and proteins in them. So when we're taking these clean foods, you know, when they're hitting our digestive system, our body's like, yes, finally, good fuel. Yeah. Thank God. And, you know, our proteins are being, you know, degraded and by proteases, and they're going to be basically broken down to amino acids, and they can be distributed throughout the body and repair muscles and also be used as other, you know, machinery in the body, because proteins also act as transporters and things throughout cells. I mean, there's a variety, there's a huge, a plethora of functions for proteins.
Wow.
They do so much. But with that said, I mean, if we're taking in clean proteins, you know, our body is going to feel, you're going to feel much better. You know, you're going to build more muscle. You're going to at least retain more lean muscle. And then with carbohydrates, same idea, you're giving yourself a clean energy source. So you're going to feel more energetic throughout the day. And then with fats are actually extremely important in the body, because every single cell has a lipid membrane. So if we're going through, you know, where we're creating new cells, we need fats for that process to occur. So, I mean, I'm not sure if that really answered the question directly, but I just spat a bunch of information, so hopefully somebody gets a little bit from that.
I think they definitely will. And, like, touching base on the protein and the different functions that it serves, man, I think people need to hear things from the cellular level, like processes that your body's actively engaging in, because that's happening every day.
I mean, it is phenomenal. It is amazing what happens on a cellular level. Like, and I've had the pleasure to really take these cell biologies, you know, microbiology, when talking about bacterial, you know, species, you know, even talking about biochemistry is where I learned a lot about cellular mechanisms. Right. And really, it's crazy, because proteins, okay, so I'll run you through kind of really quickly kind of what happens in the cell. So nucleus, we have DNA. And like the central dogma of molecular biology is that DNA is transcribed into RNA, which is translated into proteins, right? So that's kind of like the thought process behind it, is that we're taking DNA to protein. Now, when I say protein, that can be anything, and it's different, because those are the proteins that are going to be used in the cell, and also they can be transported out of the cell, but they serve so many functions, it's ridiculous. I mean, we're talking about, you know, cell transport to cell structure to cell mobility to cell, there's so many functions that happen, and proteins can be pretty much used for everything that I feel as though they're very crucial. Obviously, they're crucial to, you know, cells surviving and us surviving as a whole and as a species, but I mean, we haven't even began to break this, to crack the surface of how many proteins our bodies create. I think we have like 1%.
Oh my gosh, dude, that, like, see, that in itself, you just wouldn't guess, because everybody, when they hear protein, they think of, okay, protein I need. If I don't have enough protein, I won't build muscle. Like, I think that's the common man thought. And they're like, okay, I need to load up on protein. But no, the balance is also important. You need to balance out protein with X amount of carbs, X amount of fats, you know?
Perfect, exactly. And that's very true. And it's easier to do that, to balance that, once you get the correct amount of protein. And generally, you know, that number has been up in the air for a long time. For my body, I usually will do about a gram per pound. And that's kind of like the fitness industry's like thought process behind it. It really is where, like, because I weigh about 220 pounds, I'll take in about 220 to 230 grams of protein a day. And, you know, when you're taking in that much protein, you have to think, I mean, I'm taking in about 880 calories due to just protein. So it's a ridiculous amount when you put it out on paper and you calculate it, but the other things matter just as much. So, I mean, I'm going to be taking in maybe 300, 350, 400 grams of carbs, and that's somebody else would be like, that's astronomical. Why would you ever take in that many carbs? It's because I need it. I mean, I feel better when I carb load like that. And, you know, again, then that's the big part to hammer home with people, is that everybody's different. I mean, I could eat, I might, you know, you might be much different than me and can intake more fats, or vice versa. And it's just crazy how, you know, we only are less than a point, less than a tenth of a percentage different from one another, but we are so different.
That is crazy when you, especially when you say it like that, because I think I've heard that same statistic too, is that we are so similar in that crazy, like, small percentage, but at the same time we are so diverse at the, it's just like, wow, man. At
yeah,
the core of it all.
It's amazing. And this is something that I laughed at, because I thought of it myself. And a lot of the things that I think of is, you know, obviously I think somebody else has already thought of or said before, but I was like, man, why do we hate each other? I was like, you're pretty much me if you think about it. I mean, like, DNA wise, like, we're almost exactly the same. So why would you not like somebody else? But I was like, you're so similar. But I was like, maybe people just hate themselves, and that's why they're mean to others.
Honestly, I believe there are some people like that, man. Like, if you see a dog park, you don't really see dogs coming, getting introduced, and then they start attacking each other. Like,
yeah, no, you're right. They make friends, and they're happy with one another. And cats are a little different, but we'll leave that out.
Shout out Ivy.
Oh yeah, seriously, they're nuts. But yeah, man, I think that it's extremely crucial to any goal you have, that you need to pay attention to what you're eating. And, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of people just think if I start working out or I start doing cardio, I'm gonna lose all this weight and I'm gonna look like Victoria's Secret. And I'm like, number one, you don't want to look like that. All right, I got a little different taste than that. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, either way, it's very important to think about what you have. And if you've never, I mean, even if just kind of anybody who's listening, if you even just wanted to have a conversation about foods that you would want to be intaking, if you weren't, you know, ready to go out full out coaching, I'm completely fine with, you know, just having a conversation with anybody about, you know, what they are eating, you know, what they could be eating, and how that could improve their lifestyle.
Definitely. That's a good resource. Y'all hear that? So take that into consideration, man. Don't let that opportunity slip.
Yeah, because eventually I'll be in med school, and then, well, it's going to be a little harder to get a hold of me.
Right. But interesting, I did just think of this, and this is another thing. I know I keep referencing what I was talking to tonight, but when I was leaving with my friends, my one friend, she said she's actually on a keto diet right now, and she couldn't even eat peppermint. So, yeah. So
basically, state of ketosis. Very interesting. Kind of a weird process, actually. So, the thought process behind ketosis and becoming getting into a state of ketosis is you want to use fats or lipids as a primary fuel source. And keto is completely fine. I think, Alex, you and I have even talked about this. Keto is fine. It's just the way people get into it is wrong. So
yep.
I'm sure people have heard about the keto flu before, where basically your cellular metabolism is just completely messed up, like just all out of whack. I mean, and that's and it's basically because we're decreasing our carbohydrate intake so dramatically that our bodies, okay, biochemistry, we go through glycolysis, and that is breaking glucose into its byproducts into ATP, basically, right? And then we go through the Krebs cycle, releasing more ATP and electron carriers, then we go into the electron transport chain where we're deriving even more energy. So basically you halt that because you don't have any glucose in the system. So your body has to try to go through what's a process known as the new formation of glucose, which is called gluconeogenesis, and you're actually trying to go the opposite way and create glucose. So you basically you're not efficient in your metabolism at all when you drop like that. And so your body hasn't gotten the chance to switch over, because we do have beta oxidation, and that's, the degradation of fats and how we can derive energy from it. So if we never give our bodies a chance to start fat metabolism, then we're just going to feel like trash, and you're going to quit, and you're not going to want to do keto ever again. So anybody who's doing that, just make sure you do it in a stepwise manner. Basically, calculate your calories, calculate your macronutrients. Once you do that, then you step yourself down, weekly on your carbohydrates. And your proteins, I would say, kind of keep it a mid-range. I like to go high when I stepped into keto, and then just keep your fats high and start to step the fats up too. So that's the best way to avoid the keto flu. It's the best way to get the best results from it. And a lot of people show some serious improvement with it, because the thought process, the theory behind the whole keto diet.
Right.
We are taking our own body's fat cells. That's the whole thought process at the very end. And we are going through ketogenesis, where we're creating ketone bodies, which are these hydrocarbons. And so then we're able to use those for energy. And thus we are removing fat by using it for energy. Now, does it work all the time? And you're not supposed to be in a state of ketosis for very long. It's only supposed to be for maybe a few days, and then you're supposed to come out of it. So, you kind of dip down into it, and then you come back out into a normal state. You dip down and come back out. So just be careful with anything like that. And also, I mean, I've done it, so you can always talk to me if you need to. That's not a problem. But yeah, man. And so it's really cool how it works, though. I mean, people just all of a sudden, they're like, what if we just cut carbs out? Somebody realized that it worked. But if anybody's ever gone through the process, they might be able to tell, your breath has some type of an odor. And that's just because your body is switched over to a different metabolism, a different type of metabolism. And, some of the some of the byproducts cause that bad breath. And also, I believe your urine smells as well. But other than that, you're okay.
Other than just two bodily functions.
Yeah. But yeah, and the keto diet and ketosis are really, really fascinating from a biochemical standpoint, and definitely something to research before you do it, though. And with anything that you do, research it first.
Wise words right there, man. Wise words for sure. And so, I'm moving to just another topic, like on topic, but not. So kind of going through your journey and learning about your health, because I kind of want to go two routes here. I would say, when did you realize that health was something that you needed to take serious and that you're only really given this one body? And you can say, oh, you know, I've been doing this since middle school or whatever, but really, you know, I feel like it really didn't hit me until about freshman year of college, maybe, where I was like, yo, like, you know, I'm eating this fast food. It's really not good for my body. If I'm doing all this and I'm not taking care and I'm just eating these chips and this junk every day and drinking all this soda, like, I'm not doing what's best for my body. When did you get that epiphany?
I believe I have always been like this, but not to this extent. So I did start exercising. Like, I started like doing body weight exercises and things like that when I was very young. I believe I was like 5 or 6. I mean, I started real young. but then when I hit 12, that's when I was able to lift because I was developed more than, you know, my peers were. So my football coach thought it would be a good idea to get me lifting. So that was the beginning of the iron.
Football coach.
And then so moving through, you know, middle school, high school, I lifted for, you know, programs, I trained, but never really understood what was going on because my family is all kind of relatively built. I mean, we've always kind of been like that. I mean, not everybody's to the same extent because eventually you get older and they generally put on some weight. But usually when I got to college, that was when I kind of decided I was going to take it more seriously because I really thought now this is going to get into some crazy stuff if you really want to go this because I am almost completely convinced I had body dysmorphia for a while. I mean, like, it was bad.
Wow.
And I don't tell really many people about this at all just because it's not something you hear about. You hear about body dysmorphia when it comes to anorexia, bulimia, anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa. But, I mean, there is the other side where you just feel as if you don't look right. Like, you feel as if something's wrong, something is different, and you don't feel comfortable in your own skin. And I feel as if I was that way for a little bit. And just part of what kind of drove me into exercise and you know, eating a lot and trying to, you know, eat the right foods and try to build as much muscle as possible. You know, yeah, it sounds like a serious meathead, but it's not necessarily incorrect. Right. That some people might be struggling with this and you just have no idea. You know, somebody lifting right next to you might be gigantic and in their mind they're smaller than you. And I think that's something that nobody talks about. And it's kind of concerning, but, you know, at least they're not super unhealthy. I mean, generally, that's when steroid abuse happens. That's when it becomes really unhealthy. But luckily, I've never messed around with any of that stuff, and I'm happy for it. But anyways, though, so that kind of drove me into health in a little bit when I decided that there was just something wrong and that I was fine. Like, I feel as if this is something that happened with me when I also went through depression, is that at some point I was like, you know what, Tom or Tommy or whatever I call myself. I was like, you know what? You're fine. You need to get up and go. Like, you just need to get up and keep moving. And that's kind of what I did and kind of how I worked through it. But, you know, it was only until after I made that decision that I was okay, that I really was like, okay, now let's look at a more realistic approach to this and say, well, how am I going to make a sustainable, healthy lifestyle for myself and also for those around me, like, you know, Kaylee, you know, potentially wife and kids and everybody around me, that I can lead by example. And that's something I've always strived to do. Was just to be the example for others. And it's something that I feel as if I've definitely succeeded in at times and failed at others, but hopefully when it comes to, you know, health and fitness, I've done a good job. So that's pretty much because it was through that struggle. And I always feel like that happens. Like through that struggle is where you do your best work, is where you come up with those epiphanies where you're like, wow, I need to do something. I need to make a change. And that's kind of why I decided to really research dietetics, really research what micronutrients do to you, what they do, how they affect you. And also there's a lot of disorders that are based on not being able to absorb micronutrients. And that's something that is super scary, because it's like you might not even know that you are suffering from major depressive disorder and, you know, anxiety, which comes along with it, but it's because you're not absorbing B vitamins. And all you could do, you could just take a B vitamin supplement and you would be okay. And it's really insane that these things are happening.
And that's all linked to diet, man. Like, people don't really, they don't really think about that.
Nope. It's like, I promise, anybody listening to this, I promise, if you clean up your diet, you will feel better. And I can't hammer that home enough. If you eat clean, if you eat healthy, if you are conscious about your diet, what you are putting in your body, you will feel better. And all my clients feel that way. Everybody tells me that. They're like, wow, I feel better after like the second week, and all we did was just change my diet. And I'm like, you're right. That's all we did. But yeah, man. Yeah, it's but yeah, I mean, I feel as though it's, like I was saying before, I feel like the expertise I have and the science-based thoughts on everything that I do really helps me in this manner.
Yeah, it definitely does, man. And I think that gives you a huge advantage over somebody that would just get, you know, certified to do personal training or something. I think you're diversifying yourself and establishing yourself in more areas than even the location. I mean, you're taking the time to have different outlets of where you can be a part still of what your main focus and your main like purpose is with doing any type of health related guidance, you know. So that's great.
Yeah, and I remember when I left my old job, some of the managers there were like, they literally said to me, they're like, we'll never find a trainer like you. and that was a compliment. I was just like, wow. I was like, I must have really made an impact on these people's lives, because I mean, I wrote programs for everybody. Like, the whole staff had programs. Like, it was fun, you know, just kind of getting to know and incorporating myself in their lives, just being like, hey, you know, I want to help. Here are the resources that, you know, you can succeed as well. And they took it and ran with it.
Right. So just for kind of a joke, what are your thoughts on a fitness center versus a gym? is there a distinction there?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference, and I feel as though it's interesting, because I work at Planet Fitness, and that's really funny. That's the funny thing about it, is that I never thought I would do that. I would be involved in something like this, and I actually really like it. The atmosphere is so much better than a regular gym, and I've trained at some hardcore gyms, but basically I would say a gym is for those individuals who are attempting to compete in, you know, powerlifting, Olympic lifting, and then to some degree bodybuilding as well. And I'm talking about like Olympia bodybuilding. But a fitness center is more for people who are just looking to get fit or develop a better lifestyle or just basically get active, and they don't have to worry about not lifting as much as the guy next to them or somebody always taking their weights or whatever it is, or, you know, because there are less rules at a regular gym than it would be at a fitness center. And, you know, that's not always true. That is a very subjective answer, and I think that could be false, but that is just my opinion on it.
Right. Oh, man.
What do you think, Alex?
No, like, gyms usually, so I mean, and it's funny because some of the gyms, quote unquote, that I would reference, they still have fitness in their name. Like, I would consider LA Fitness a gym.
Yeah.
But also, they have swimming pools and basketball courts. So then it's like,
okay, so that,
now what is it?
Yeah, that's like a crossover gym, I think. That's more of like a fitness center slash gym, like both. Because you're going to get some very serious lifters. I'm not saying people who go to fitness centers aren't serious, because I'm serious, and I think that I go to a fitness center sometimes, but you know, those people, you can go either way.
And why do you think some places might not allow certain attire? Because I was at my Planet Fitness today, and there was a chick, I mean, she was wearing a sports bra, like, the whole nine yards. You know, I'm wearing a shirt.
Yeah, you're like, I have a long sleeve shirt on and sweatpants. What are you right now? Yeah, no, I think that is, I mean, I obviously can't do anything about it, but it's something where we give more freedom to women. I don't know why. I don't even know if that's necessarily true, but I think guys, you know, we don't want the whole, like, you know, gym tanks where, like, the chest is open or the back is open, because people get intimidated frequently. I mean, it's you know, you don't want somebody, I don't even want to reference myself, but like me going to
right.
in a shirt like that, because somebody might look at me and be like, oh wow, like, this guy is like so much stronger than me, or whatever, you know, and I don't want anybody to feel like that. I want everybody to focus on themselves. And I think that's part of the problem, is when you have that attire, people start focusing on you rather than themselves. They're like, oh, what about this person? They start comparing themselves to you, because it's human nature to do that. And specifically with women, that's why I never understood why women in Planet Fitness could wear sports bras and the tight little short spandex things. Like, come on now. Cover yourself up. But I would have to say that I have a much more conservative ideal about my gym attire. I mean, the only reason I wear cutoffs is because I have to see my muscles sometimes when I work out.
that's funny you say that. So do you think, is gym intimidation, like gym intimidation, is that a real thing, or is that just a cop-out, man?
Unfortunately, I believe it is a real thing, because I have seen some people be afraid to go to the dumbbell section, afraid to go work on the cables, because I've worked in gyms my whole life. And it's one of those things where if you have somebody who's slamming weights and basically acting more aggressive, which is fine in the right setting, right, I think that can deter some people who are beginning, you know, who are beginners, to go over and try. And I think that's kind of what's sad about it, is, you know, that person might not go back because, you know, they got scared away, which sounds ridiculous, but they might have gotten scared away.
That is interesting. And that's insane at the same time too, because, like, I mean, I can definitely see where someone's coming from and they might feel that way for sure, but is that an official rule as part of the policy for the gym, or
it depends. I mean, for Planet Fitness, I can really only speak for that, because it is a policy that, you know, you can't grunt or scream, you can't, you know, be aggressive, you have to be courteous of others, you have to re-rack your weights, things like that, that aren't really pushed across the board with everything. Like, when I used to work out at Gold's Gym, I mean, there were plenty of times when, you know, I would have called myself a lunk, you know, and just because that's just the type of crowd that was there. We all lifted hard. We all were friends. We all just went as hard as we could, and there really weren't that many new people that came over. That's just the way it was. I worked out there. But I wanted, I think it just comes with age and maturity, is that I want everybody to have a chance to kind of feel, have experienced the same things I have when it comes to exercise, and just be like, wow, I can do this. I am able. I am apt.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's true, man. apt is a good choice. I'm going to start saying that again. I haven't said that in a long time.
Yeah, I like that word. I say it every once in a while. I'll just throw it in there.
Definitely. So this is kind of just kind of touching back on something more personal. And I thank you again for sharing, especially with how you felt and dealt with your own ideas of how your body looked like. I just don't remember the exact word you used. It might have been dysmorphia.
Yeah, body dysmorphia. Yeah. So it's okay, basically, okay. You see yourself in your self-image is incorrect, if that makes sense. That's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes total sense. Like, out of your whole fitness journey, what do you think your biggest challenge was, and how did you overcome it?
I think my biggest challenge, and it's a character flaw. It really is a character flaw, is that I push too hard. I will push myself beyond my own limits on a daily basis. So the only problem with that is your body has limitations. And that's something I find out every time is, you know, sometimes I'd be making a lot of progress. Like, you know, I'd be prepping for a contest or something. And all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? Put on 5 plates. I'm going to squat that. I think I can do it. I can definitely do this. I haven't lost any strength. And then I end up hurting myself. Like, one time I tore a quad. I mean, that was a big setback. I've had a lot of injuries just due to myself, because we had this discussion that I thought I could look like Ronnie Coleman without taking steroids. in the back of my mind, I knew that was incorrect, but I still worked, you know, hard and tried to mimic his training and tried to be, you know, at work just as hard and you know, use some of the same techniques. And that's something that I noticed that doesn't work for people who don't have that speedy recovery due to the performance enhancing drugs. So that was probably my biggest flaw. And it kind of comes down to, well, where would that stem from? Okay, it stems from an absurd work ethic, because you think and you know that you can do more than what you think, what your body's capable of. So it was very easy for me to push myself too far, if that makes sense.
That's true.
Yeah.
How common do you think workout enhancements, like body enhancements, are? That's kind of a subject I feel isn't really brought up and talked about too much, unless it's somebody that got caught with it, maybe in a professional sport, or if that's somebody that's really prevalent. But I mean, performance enhancers, I feel like how many people, I feel like X amount, you know, of how many of these big dudes, when you see, are they natural or are they taking something? What do you think it is?
Well, I would just go ahead and say that I believe that the majority, I would not throw a number out, the majority of professional athletes are taking performance enhancing drugs. That is
right.
That's a fact. But now, when it comes to the people that you see on a daily basis, one of the things that you can look for, and this isn't always correct either, but I think that if we go, you know, subject to subject and kind of see each person, if somebody's delts look obnoxiously large, like they almost look like alien shoulders, that person is probably injecting. And it's because you have the most heavily concentrated area of androgen receptors in your delts. So you see those big boulder shoulders on somebody, like, I mean, I'm not talking about somebody with nice shoulders. I'm talking about somebody who has something that it looks like there's a head, like a fetal head grown out of their arm. Like, that is what I'm talking about. Those people are most likely taking. And again, some people have superior genetics and whatnot, but not the majority. Most people with that type of body feature are probably taking, unfortunately.
Man, it makes you just wonder, like, if everybody, not everybody, but if so many people are doing these contests and they're juicing, it's like, what is the point anymore? Why is it still going on with the same people?
Oh yeah, and the other thing is that if you're going to a natural show, that's a natural show that's not like tested heavily, all those people are all those people are taking drugs too. That's the crazy part about it. Natural. No, you're just a small. You're just a person who's taking steroids who's small, and that's unfortunately true.
Dude, that's just nuts to me to even think. What are all the exact symptoms of steroids? Because I only know of a few.
I mean, obviously, there's like. And this is always a steroid abuse. Not you won't see a lot of these symptoms unless you're abusing steroids. You're taking too high of doses too frequently. So when you're taking those, that's a lot of organ damage. I mean, you know, your liver has to process anything you put into your body. So your liver, you could have cirrhosis of the liver. So you could have you could have development of female sex characteristics if you're not taking blockers. There's a lot, dude. I mean, there's a lot. So people have gotten good about taking steroids and taking, you know, PEDs and in the manner as where they take supplementary ingredients and other vitamins and supplements that help to deter those effects. So that's how you can have people like Kai Greene and, you know, Ulysses and Simeon Panda who are taking performance-enhancing drugs, but they aren't seeing the side effects of it. So, you know, good for those people, but yeah, I'm going to stay away from it. I'm health-oriented, man. I can't handle that. That's not me.
So what actually happens to the kidney whenever it gets too much protein? Because I was hearing... that was also an issue with people that were taking keto in the wrong way. What exactly happens with that? If you could touch base on that.
Well, the only thing that I could think of is that you could have kidney failure, and so what that basically means is your kidneys are no longer processing; they're no longer filtrating urine out of the blood, so they're not removing the water. Now, the protein causes a larger issue because if your body, if there is protein in the kidneys and it's coming through the blood, then you have a bigger problem. You have an extremely high density of protein in the blood, which is it's not normal, if that makes sense. It's not really frequent that could happen. So I feel as though there's probably something else going on. Now, I haven't heard of that specifically, that, you know, protein ends up causing the kidneys to fail. Now, if we just thought about this and kind of broke it down, it'd be, all right, so we have thick blood coming through the kidneys, which are supposed to be removing water from normal blood, and basically it kind of bogs down the kidneys, which then can lead to oxidative stress on the kidney cells and the renal corpuscles, and then we're just not gonna have an effective kidney. So we're not, you know, removing urine from the body, and that causes issues in itself. But I'd have to look into that. Right. I'm not sure. I haven't heard of that specifically, that protein potentially kind of harms the kidneys in any way.
Huh? Yeah, I think. Like, whenever I would do any type of research on my own accord, whether it be YouTube or something, they say that the more protein you have that isn't being broken down by your kidneys or your body system in general, then I was always informed the patient then.
I mean, that could just be something. They're always anomalies. They're always anomalies in any of these diets, because some people can't do keto. It's actually harmful to their bodies. And that's just due to their own genetics not allowing for that, you know, beta oxidation to occur rapidly enough to remove the fats and break it down for energy. Right. So now I could definitely see something like that where, you know, you have too much protein in the blood, but that doesn't even make sense. I mean, you'd have to be intaking a ridiculous amount of protein.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm just going to throw out, you probably take like like 500 grams of protein or something like that. And you'd have to be like, you know, 150 pounds. It had to be really high.
Yeah, that is nuts. That's really nuts.
Yeah, I could definitely look into that for you, because I'm not certain on that.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I can do some more looking at that myself as well. Are you starting to get some sniffles, man?
Man, I tell you, I refuse to get sick.
Right.
That's not gonna happen. That's true. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm one of those people. I will my body into good health.
No, that's right. That's right, though. And here's the question. I've always wanted to know the answers to this, too. So when you're sick, is it better for you to work out? Is sweating out the sickness a real concept? Do you know if that might jumpstart the recovery process of something? Or is that usually just a parting way?
I read this in an exercise physiology textbook. So what happens is when you – okay, so they did immune system response, and it was due to, like, low-intensity exercise, moderate-intensity exercise, high-intensity exercise, and it was, like, over time. And so they took people who were sick, and they kind of could record basically their immune response based on their T cells and B cells. You know, those are just your basic immune cells.
Right.
What happened was is they actually had an increase – it was actually rather dramatic. They had an increase in their immune system response when they did moderate intensity activity. So you don't want to be doing, I mean, heavy loads. You don't want to go power lift or something. But if you would do some moderate intensity cardio and maybe some light, you know, resistance training, then that's definitely possible. And it's proven that it does increase immune system response. So yeah, it'll definitely help you get better. And that is the whole, like, sweating out the sickness thing. That's exactly what that is.
Okay. So kind of jump starting your immune system.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to put it.
Cause like, I guess it was a mindset thing. Anytime I'd be sick and I go to the gym, I'm like, yeah, I'm sweating this out right now. Using it as motivation.
Yeah, no, that's funny. Yeah, no, you're right though. You're right though, and I think it's the same thing when you're hungover. I think it kind of has something the same, right? No, I don't know about that. But yeah, it's exercise is great for you.
Man, well, do you have anything that you'd want to touch base on, or bring up as well that you think might be important for the audience? Because I think those are a lot of good talking points there. We are coming up on an hour, so I just wanted to kind of give you that brief moment there. If you did have an urgent or pressing matter, then, you know, feel free by any means to jump right into that.
I think that what I would definitely say, and this is just kind of that's something that's been on my mind for a while, is that we are the product of our actions, and we're our own habits. So this is something that we could talk about as well, but we don't have to today. We can talk about it another time, next time I'm on or something. Is that we reinforce our own identity through our own habits. And that's something that is very, very deep. That's something that you should think of moving forward. Is think about what you do throughout the day. That is who you are. And that's something that you will always reinforce it to. Like, let's say, just for example, myself, I would say that I am a fitness enthusiast, right? That's something that I could solidify, I could put my name. So, you know, I get home and I go to the gym, and that's something that is going to solidify and reinforce that self-identity I have for myself. You know, okay, I just graduated a pre-med degree, and I want to go to medical school, so I'm going to come home, I'm going to study, because that's what medical students do. They study for the MCAT, they move forward, and that's something you can think about in your own life. What are you doing that makes you who you are? And that's definitely something to think about.
No, dude, that was an amazing point, especially, and I'm so happy that you brought that up, man, because I feel like a lot of people now will they'll really be asking themselves, you know, like, what, all right, what's the purpose here? You know, like, who am I? What am I really affirming? What routine am I doing on a day to day? Because I think about that all the freaking time, man. Like, here I am doing this on Monday. What I shouldn't be doing, I'm doing it again on Tuesday.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a much deeper point in your mind. You have to really, really dive deep and think, okay, well, what am I reinforcing? What do I believe about myself that I am reinforcing with this action? And you'll find your brain is crazy.
I believe it, man. The brain is really amazing, and I need to take a lot more time to actually research the brain and understand it, because it's just too powerful, man. People don't realize it.
It's fascinating. It all really is. Science in general is fascinating. So, but yeah, man. So we're already past an hour, so I guess we should probably get off here.
We can wrap it up real quick. Sure. Yeah, man. Thank you again for your time, dude. Like, I already knew you were going to add a lot, and you did. And, you know, believe it or not, did have people really excited to hear this. I know Ruben himself will be excited to hear what you have to say, especially pertaining to health. So there you go. That's already one person that's very eager to dive in and see what you have to say. But yeah, man, I think you're definitely going in the right direction. And I want to thank you again for coming on here and for helping me personally with my fitness goals and for being that reason that I'm even able to go to the gym and know exactly what that goal is in mind, because I have it laid out all at the hands of my finger, the tips of my fingers, you know. So
yeah, and I appreciate you respecting me and following through with the program and kind of just believing in the fact that I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man, of course, dude. It's really impressive, and the weight of your knowledge is immense, man. And you know, that's definitely not everybody. Just like your old employee said, you're not just like any trainer, man. You're definitely on a whole different level. And I really encourage anybody that is anywhere. You got Harrisburg out here. I mean, even Ship, if you're in Shippensburg, no matter where you're at, if you're listening to this, you know, hit up Thomas. He'll give you exactly what you need, and he'll look out and he'll work with you as well. So,
yeah. Well, I appreciate you bringing me on, Alex. I know that you're going to succeed in anything that you do. I'm excited to see the fruits of your labor.
Oh, man. Thank you, man. And to you as well, dude. You know, all we can do is go up. So yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to continue to go up and be here for the ride and be patient with it, man.
Perfect. That is very true. And couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, any last remarks, Tom?
I don't think so, man. I'm just happy that anybody who listened, that, you know, I appreciate you taking the time to hear what I have to say, and keep supporting Alex, because he's doing great things, and I you know, really believe in what he's doing, and I think you should too.
Thank you, man, and same to you. And you can shout out your social media handles and or whatever you may have, just so people can get in contact with you.
Yeah, so my Instagram is probably the easiest way to find me. It's just TB, and then it's underscore fitness. But, you know, if you just want to search my name on Facebook, that doesn't bother me either. It's just Thomas Bonitz, and my last name is spelled Bonitz, and I'm assuming you'll see it on this podcast as well, so I don't know why I spelled it, but you can just friend request me and just be like, hey, man, like, I heard your session with Alex, and I'd like to hear more about what you have to offer. I will definitely give you the time of day.
Boom. Boom. Just like that. That simple. Easy.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you had fun. I'm going to let you go now. I don't want to keep you much longer. I'm so grateful for your time, and I'll throw this up as soon as I have something written for it. So probably in the morning, you'll be able to hear it tomorrow for sure. Okay.
Cool. And what we're both loquacious, right? Isn't that the correct way to use that word?
Yeah, loquacious. Yep, that loquacious is the word, man.
That's it.
Definitely.
And you know, one of my favorite words is effervescent, and it's something that like nobody uses.
Wait, what is that? I think I heard of that.
It's called effervescent. Effervescent is
Oh, no.
I will use it to describe people, and it confuses them.
Huh, I'm about to search that. It's F effervescent or effervescent.
It's EFF, so effervescent. But you'll see it, and you'll be like, "Wow!"
Effer.
You'll be like, "Wow, that was stupid." But no, yeah,
Oh.
you might use it.
Wow.
Yeah, you might use it in real life at some point. You're like, "Wow, that's you're a very effervescent individual." Yes, you are.
I it. I love it. I'm gonna start using it. See if anybody actually does.
Good, man. Good stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Well, all right, man. I'll let you get going. I'm excited to hear. I'll probably listen to it tomorrow just to see how it came out. But anything to help you out, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, man. I appreciate it, and especially for you as well, just to give you that connect. I have people that come in and tune in here, so any way that they're able to come in and get connected with you, I can match y'all two together, then I'm doing my part as well. So can't thank you enough, man.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're welcome, and thank you.
All right, man. Well, hey, well, I'll catch up with you on Wednesday then, okay?
Yep, sounds good. See you, Alex.
All right, man. Yeah, have a good night, man.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.